Hello, my friends, and welcome to another episode of Stand Up and Marvel. I'm your host, Colin. I've got the usual cast of characters with me today, Mike and Tim. In this episode, we're talking about the fifth episode of Ms. Marvel. This is our complete breakdown and thoughts on the episode, so there will be spoilers. You've been warned. So without further ado, let's get into it. All right, so let's start off with a little episode recap here. So we start off by seeing a brief history of the partition. And then Aisha is running for her life. She has to kill a guy to survive. Aisha meets Hassan. They have a baby together. And then years go by, and Najma eventually finds Aisha and gives her until sundown the next day to find the bangle. Aisha and Hassan begin to migrate to Pakistan. Aisha adds the inscription to the bangle with magic. Najma stabs Aisha. Aisha casts one final spell on the bangle. It opens a portal and brings Kamala right to her, which catches us up to what happened in episode 4. Kamala creates a path of stars that leads Sana back to her dad. Mission accomplished. We're now back in present day and the veil is open. One of the Jinn tries to go into the veil and instantly dies. Najma has a change of heart and uses the power to close the veil. In the process, she dies and sends the last of her magic to Kamran, because she apparently loves him now. Madiba and Sana show up and find out about Kamala's power. They have a lot to talk about, and Kamran is back. He meets up with Bruno at his place above the convenience store. Then a drone shows up out of nowhere and blows up Circle Q, end of episode. Oh, and by the way, Kamran has powers now.
Yeah.
So, interesting episode.
Yeah. I think I went last time. So, Tim, do you want to take it away for this one?
Sure. I like this episode. One, because it's the episode that I've been waiting for, where they finally get Partition on screen. Mm-hmm. That was great. And they explain... a little bit more about what Partition is, you know, the fact that India split into India and Pakistan, and you know, the Muslims are being driven out and everything like that. But I love backstory a lot, and I love because it answers a lot of questions you have about people and things like that. Again, we're not seeing a majority of the initial cast in this episode, but I was a little confused at first because of where we left off on the last episode. So, you know, because it starts off at the train station and then we end up at the train station later on. I got a little confused based off of that, but I really did enjoy this episode. There was they're very much playing towards that family dynamic in this episode too, which I really appreciate. And we get a good sense of Aisha as a character, and her character development in this one single episode was actually pretty cool too.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I liked a lot of the backstory, a lot of stuff that happened in the episode I liked. But one thing I really, really didn't like was the whole, like, you know, the final piece of the puzzle that tied everything together with the Kamala being the one who saved her grandma going back in time.
It just
didn't make any sense at all, and it goes against like the entirety of the time travel rules in the MCU and everything.
I know. So when that happened, I was like, wow, they're just throwing a wrench in the gears here with that one. But I gotta say, when she finds out that it's her, I gotta say, I got like major like Harry Potter feels when they used the time turner go back in time, and Harry Potter was like, he's like, it was me the whole time. And I was just like, what? And then after the last episode we did, I rewatched episode 4 and I changed my theory as I'm watching. I'm like, no, I think she's physically there, and I think she's the one that's gonna have some sort of effect on on this whole outcome.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It just really bothered me.
It did bother me too. It did bother me how it was like, oh, it was me the whole time. It's like, but that means it had to be set in motion from the very beginning.
Right. So I was kind of looking this up. Like, I was trying to find a term for this. The term I found was a causal loop. It's a paradox of time travel that occurs when a future event is the cause of a past event, which in turn is the cause of the future events. So both events can exist, but their origin cannot be determined.
Mm.
And it doesn't make sense. And part of what I have loved about the MCU so far up to this point is that everything has been like so crisp and clean, and it's all made sense. And they've done such a good job with these complicated topics, and this just poops all over it. It just really bugs me. I really hope they somehow come back and explain this away, because the way it stands right now, it just doesn't fit in with the rest of the time traveling and multiverse theory that's been going on so far. So it just, this is my least favorite episode, honestly, almost entirely because of that. But that's a big deal, at least in my
opinion. The thing is, like, the whole time traveling thing with the bangle completely, like, almost messes with the entire theory that Tony Stark had to deal with when they were trying to figure out time travel in Endgame. He's like, you know, time travel is just a thing where it's just like, it's so complicated. And he's like, you have to navigate and figure out how to navigate and get back. He's like, there's no guarantee that we will get back. And then all of a sudden Kamala just goes in the past and then goes right back with ease. It's just like, I thought this was a big thing that
I mean, in a lot of shows and movies that deal with like time travel and stuff, they have like paradox proof, like BS that happens sometimes. And I think that's kind of what they're going for here. There's just like the magic that Aisha used on the bangle is somehow like paradox proof. And like the spell that she cast on it was like, you know,
it's almost kind of like name?
Sana. So like Sana's granddaughter will find the bangle in the future. Like Sana will somehow make it out of this alive. She'll find the bangle in the future, and then her granddaughter is going to come and help save Sana. Like maybe that was part of her spell that she cast, because she didn't actually say anything, did she? I think she just kind of like,
who?
I don't know. Maybe Aisha, when she like put a spell, like used her magic on the bangle.
All she said was what you seek is seeking you, and then her eyes did that purple glow, and then she showed up. However, I feel like Aisha with the bangle, if you think about it, really, it's almost as if the same thing that Odin did with Thor's hammer Mjolnir, where it's like whoever be so worthy to wear this bangle may have all the powers that reside within it.
Right.
And I think so when she cast her spell, she didn't call forth Kamala, she called forth the bangle.
Right.
And whoever was wearing it, she knew would be able to have the abilities that of the bangle.
Yeah, I mean that's probably right, but then that's, you know,
because she didn't really know who she was.
Then we get back into the infinite loop.
Right, and she called Kamala Sana, so I'm guessing she didn't think it would be.
Did she call her Sana? I thought she was just like,
yeah, because Kamala said
trying to give instructions, and the first thing she said was like Sana, like not like she's calling to Sana. She's like seeing this person approach, and she's like,
I thought she said I knew Sana. I thought she said I knew it would be you, and then she says Sana.
Yeah, she did. She did. Okay. Tim's right. Because her initial, I think, reaction was that this is my daughter grown up. Well, not grown up, like a teenager,
like an older.
But it's really her great granddaughter, right? So she has. Yeah. She didn't realize it. But if I may, I agree with you guys 100%. I didn't care for it. I thought that it just wasn't delivered the way that I think it was intended to be delivered. You know, you're distracted from the how and the why, and comparing it to you know what we've been told in Endgame and so on and so forth. But honestly, it was just kind of how it was done. It wasn't. I don't know what I'm trying to figure out what's missing. I've been thinking about it all day as much as I can while I've been working. But I'm with Colin. This is my least favorite episode from the whole season so far, because I feel like it was just a part two of the last episode, where I'm feeling more disconnected from Kamala and more connected to her family, which isn't bad. I enjoy the backstory, but this was a 40-minute episode with credits. So we're talking like 30-something minutes.
36,
way too, maybe. Yeah, like way too quick. And again, just I feel disconnected from her now. And it just, it didn't seem as well done as it was before. I don't know why. There was a couple moments where I lost touch. I thought it was so silly how this guy escapes from a triple max prison, goes in, back into a triple max prison to leave the triple max prison again, and then we go to him and he's wearing a new coat and he's just walking in the same hallway that it looks like.
He never
like
actually went back into the triple max prison though.
He did. He was walking in a hallway, like looked like the same exact hallway. Yeah, with the piping and everything. It looked like he was literally walking.
It kind of did
where he escaped. So there's no change of scenery at all, making me interpret in my mind that he's literally just walked up and back and forth down this corridor, like waiting for something. Like I don't know. And then, yeah, it just happens. All of it happened so fast, and I wanted it to feel special, and I wanted it to feel, you know, emotional and have that weight that I know that they were trying to deliver on.
Yeah.
It just wasn't there for me. I just agree. Wasn't.
They were building up to like all season, and then it was just.
It was just kind of like just it was not cool, a big deal. but I thought it was almost kind of cheesy, and it's weird to say that, but it was kind of cheesy having her be the one that did it.
Yeah.
Instead, and I really didn't think of
for me, because I mean it was kind of cool. I think it would have been a lot cooler if the rules of time travel and multiverse have not been so thoroughly established at this point. And that's kind of like, I don't know, at least if you're thinking about it and you've watched all the Marvel content like we have.
Sure.
For me, at least immediately, I was just really mad about what's going on. It wasn't just that, though. It was also like when she was pulled in, like the whole thing she did, she made that path of stars to help
Sana
walk like 10 feet.
It was like nothing.
I was expecting this like magical journey for her to go on for like a mile or two following this path of stars. It was just like 10 feet.
It didn't have to be a mile. It could have been like her going above people then going over the train to go to the other side or something like that. Something more entertaining, I feel like. And maybe we're just being hard on it, but I'm feeling like it's kind of, I don't know, that it's not the, I'm trying to find the right word to explain how I feel right now. I just feel like they were had so such good momentum, like it was such good pace, and I felt so connected to her and connected to the cast. And then as soon as we left Jersey, it's been important. I'm not saying it's not, but it's been hard to kind of, you know, kind of be back on that same page again. And I was hoping that this episode was going to kind of pull me back, and instead it pushed me away further. And even like the ending, like it was just so quick. Like
I didn't like the ending.
Yeah, I didn't like the ending. It was just so fast. It felt so rushed. Like again, the constant problem I have where we're doing 6 episodes, guys. We're doing 30 minutes for some of them or more. You guys are rushing through these things. Like it's hurting the quality.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And it's starting to make me a little bit hesitant, because for me, I would rather have 4 movies a year that are all connected and all clean and all that we've had versus having 5 shows and 3 movies. Because if it's a lot to take on, I get it. Then stop doing countless projects right now, like having all these things going on at once, like kind of bring it back now. And I get, you know, we all have these theories, it's going to go to Secret Wars, it's going to have all these characters, all these variants coming together. Cool, that's wild. But like, what are we going to do to get to that point? Like how much of a disconnect and how many things are going to, how much of a dip in quality are we going to have to like get to that like conclusion. And even if we do finally get to that conclusion, how impactful is that conclusion going to be when this thing is all like all over the place and it's just da-da-da and we're following all these loopholes and you know what I mean? Like there's just the consistency is I get the show is supposed to be a lower quality per se than the movies. So I'm not trying to be hard on it. But you know, comparing them to the other Marvel shows we've had, I just feel like this show got hit so hard in the last couple episodes, even budgeting, like, why couldn't we see her just when she was going back up to what's his face, the red, sorry, I'm drawing
daggers,
the red daggers,
yes, him, when she was like talking to her mom and her grandma and then she's like, I'll be right back, they didn't show her like hop up to go up to that top ledge. We just like, heard
I noticed that too. That
and was I was so like, dumb. Okay, so you guys just like totally needed to cut a corner because you needed to save money, right. Or like what happened? Because that was really like, and again, these are like minor nitpicks, but
I mean, I guess the justification is that they really wanted to show you the reaction of Kamala's mom because this is the first time she's seeing her use her powers.
But so it's not the reaction that you know you're expecting.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
And I didn't that at all.
No, me neither. And I didn't like the reaction with her mom either.
Like she was completely okay with it when the entirety of leading up to this, like she was like, no, you know, we don't talk about your great grandmother. We don't talk. She brought shame upon this family.
Don't
you
talk about Bruno. We don't talk about Bruno. I had to get it in there.
That was a good scene, by the way, though. When he finally acknowledged that he's been calling him the wrong name, I like.
I
that.
Did.
That
I really like that. Good. He's like, oh man, I've been calling. He's like, no, I haven't really noticed after the first four times, you know. I thought that was great. And then when he goes to shake his hand, and he's like, oh, I have a broken hand thanks to your mom. You know, okay, I like that part, but like, yeah. I was expecting, in this episode, her mom is like my favorite character in this episode because like the cousins are explaining to her, it's like, just go on to your iCloud and use to find my phone application to find out where Kamala is. And she's like, what, like parent spyware? It's like, kind of, it's like, why am I just hearing about this now?
Yeah, that like, was good.
That was great. But then when she showed up, like I expected her to be like angry, like really angry about like and like the fact that she told her from the very beginning to put the bangle up in the attic. And when she sees her with the bangle, you would assume that she would be extremely mad because
to me it makes sense though, because she was mad about the bangle because she thought that her mom was lying to her whole life and making up all these stories, and the bangle was just a reminder of that. But now that she found out that it's all been true all along, she probably is, you know, relieved, maybe even happy or even a little guilty about being mad at her mom all this time. So it actually kind of makes sense to me.
I think they could have played it both ways though. Like she could have been a little maybe not mad, but more upset about the fact that, you know, Kamala's been lying to her about this the whole time, but also be understanding because she's like, she's there with her mother, so Kamala's grandmother, going, oh my god, you were right this whole time, you know, everything that you said was true. And I mean, she does touch base on that when they're later on back home, saying, you know, it took me a while to see what you were trying to tell me and everything like that. Mm-hmm. But it was just not the reaction I was expecting from her mom, at least the initial reaction when she sees that. And she's like, you're this light girl. I'm just like, what is going on?
I wanted to bring up the whole veil scene. Because that's another thing I felt like that was not done well at all. And again, like I mentioned this in one of the previous episodes, everything was so clean in my opinion up until the fourth episode, and then everything became like very like muddled, and with the plot and the dialogue and how we're following along as an audience, and you know, it's kind of confusing in a way, right? And the way that was done, the whole veil scene, her coming out of the time travel and back into reality, our reality. What? Like, it was just not really explained. Like, it was just like, boom, the veil's here. It's open now. And then she goes in it. The one Jin dies. Then the main, you know, antagonist of the show, we can call her that. Mm-hmm. She I took that differently than what Colin said in the beginning of how she kind of wanted to try to see if she could be on the defense for it. For me, I thought she was like, you know what, I'm out of here, guys, whatever. Yeah, my son's cool, I guess. And she actually went in, regardless of that Jin dying, she still wanted to see, because she felt like she was different or something. Like, she still wanted to see what she could do, if she could get into it, and she couldn't, and she had the same fate as the other one.
I don't remember what she was saying, but it sounded like to me that she was trying to close it, and she succeeded.
She did. She said, there is only one way I can close it.
Yeah, so she and sacrificed herself in order to clip it somehow at the same time.
But she was saying, like, I can make it. Like, I can make it, as she was getting closer and closer. So that's why it was kind of throwing me off that she was, like, I agree with you. I see that aspect of it, too. But this is where it gets, like, muddled for me, because, like...
Yeah, it was confusing.
Well, during that scene,
I don't fully understand it.
Right?
During that scene, when she's, like, when Najma is approaching the veil to her, and she's saying she can make it, I think she's so enthralled about the fact that the veil is finally open. And she's just so focused on, that's home right there.
Destination.
That's home. I can make it. That she died, but maybe, you know, maybe that was just a fluke. I can make it. I know I can make it. And then it's just like brought back to reality that, no, you can't. But why kill yourself when Kamran needs you and everything with Kamala? But what I was wondering is, where is this, like, so when they die, their powers just dissipate into...
It seems like it transfers to, like, it's ancestral. Like, but, it seems, you know, like the powers transfer to the next kin.
So,
right?
At like, first, I wrong. Thought when I it mean, happened...
She, it sounded like she was casting a spell to me.
Well,
like,
you know, that's what... Powers. Sure, I thought she was transferring, like, her consciousness or her soul into Kamran, kind of be like, hey, this is how I can continue to live on, kind of like Invaders of the Body Snatchers type of deal, you know. Like, maybe Kamran's not Kamran anymore and it's Najma in Kamran's body, you never know, you know, because we never, like, they never talk about, you know, oh, you know, when we die our powers get transferred
again. This is, and I think, so, the theme of the whole thing is that there's a lot of disconnect in the plot and the writing. Like, what's going on? Like, it's just, it's really hard to guide as an audience. And, you know, hey, we're vets here. You know, we're older. We're not young anymore. We've seen a lot of content. And to have all three of us be like, what? You know, it's there's something going on, right? There's a disconnect. And I hope they pull it off in the finale, but now I'm really unsure. I'm really bummed out that I kind of turned around on this show so quickly. And again, now I'm falling it into the same category with Moon Knight. Even though I loved Moon Knight, I didn't enjoy the last two episodes really. You know, the finale was what you'd expect from a finale, right? It was climactic, it was epic, all that. And I'm sure we'll have the same in here. And when I think of that little scene of how they skipped, you know, the visualization of her going above to go to him, okay, they're just saving money for the finale, right? And well, that's what I felt like in this episode. It was cut, it was a very short episode. There wasn't a lot of CG work. There wasn't a lot of big set pieces. There wasn't a lot to work with in this one. It was very, to me, it was very, you know, kind of basic.
What I got from that, and only because, like, I just from doing, like, behind the scenes, like I watch a lot of behind the scenes and things like that, and I read a lot of articles about actors on the job and stuff like that. I feel like the whole reason why we didn't get to see her do the whole going up to the upper level is probably because on the previous episode she might have gotten hurt. And if she got hurt, then she wouldn't be able to do stunts like that. And that's the only thing I can think of, because I don't know if she does her own stunts. I mean, they're not exactly like extreme dangerous stunts, but, you know, one misstep or one thing could take you out from doing stunts for a while.
They have like harness.
Yeah, they have harnesses and stuff like that. But you never know, depending on where she hurt herself, you know, the harness could agitate it or whatever.
Could also use a stunt double.
I mean, yeah, they could have just used a stunt double. I'm pretty sure she has one. But yeah, I mean, that's the only thing I could think of. Or, you know, budget wise, they're putting all the rest of the budget into the finale.
Yeah.
And, you know, this one just had to take like a cut real quick for the finale to be whatever it is going to be.
Speaking of finale, this honestly like felt like a finale episode up until that last like 10 seconds.
Sure.
Like it really felt like they could just end it now.
I don't, yeah, I mean, shows up.
Be so unsatisfying, but yeah, they could.
I mean they wrapped up one of the storylines. Like all the Jyn are gone at this point. So the only thing left is the DODC, and who really cares? They haven't done that much.
Yeah, scroll basically, baby, I'm
telling you.
This episode ended like an episode of The Sopranos, man. Like seriously, like
the explosion
is like, he's like, they're here, or he's like, you have powers too, black, what,
dude? It was so quick because they did the explosion and then it was like almost like a jump cut. It just boom went straight to the credits, and I don't know if that was supposed to be some sort of like cliffhanger feel, but that totally didn't take. That was just kind of like what. And then I hate to bring it up again, but like I can't get over no engagement or nothing with Kamran exiting a triple max prison, re-entering the triple max prison to exit it again and then be followed now, right? Because the drone showed up. Mm. So it's like I'm trying to like,
so I think I wish they kind of expanded on it, but you know, he's being followed now because when he got his powers, like Shield, they can monitor everything. They monitor everything. They monitor, like, once he got his powers, I'm sure there was somebody sitting at a computer going, sir, we had a spike in energy levels in this sector. And it's just like, all right. And maybe they found out that it was Kamran and they're just like, no, actually let him go and we'll just follow him and he'll lead us to who we want to find. I kind of think, because like if you think about it, like in the first Thor movie, when the first Thor hears about his hammer and he goes into the facility and everything and he tries to get his hammer back, the guy was sitting at the computer screen monitoring the hammer and he goes, sir, there's a large spike in energy coming from the hammer at this time. So like, and they're just like, also when I guess when people come in from the Bifrost as well, they get a large spike, a reading there too. They're just like, oh, large, like when the destroyer came in, they're just like, oh, large energy spike just happened in this location. You know, they can monitor everything. So I wouldn't be surprised if they found out that Kamran had this huge energy spike and inherited his powers and followed him.
I mean, but the point is kind of it's been very hand wavy. Like a lot of the things are very hand wavy all season, especially with any magic usage. It's just been very hand wavy. They just aren't explaining anything.
No, that's really true. Bothers
me.
And why destroy the Circle Q? Like, what was the point of
Q? Haven't we blown up enough little shops in New Jersey and New York? I mean, Spider-Man.
And now Kamala's dad isn't going to be able to buy those pies.
Right. I mean, that was his job too.
That was like the one place he could go without his wife knowing that he's eating these little pies, and now it's gone.
Poor Bruno.
I can imagine. Poor Bruno.
The short end of the stick in this season.
I feel bad for the dad now.
Yeah, but. So on the note of the finale, I want to ask you guys' opinion on this. So are we pushing towards, because now she's gone, she's dead. Are we pushing towards his mom? Because that, you made a good point. I was thinking that in my mind, like, did she transfer her consciousness to him? So now she's going to be living through him. So is the finale, are they penting it up for him to be the new antagonist at the end? Or is it just going to be them against the DODC?
I mean, that's what I was thinking at first, that he was going to be the new villain, but it doesn't seem like, at least his attitude, but I mean, you know, they could easily just change that and just say he was faking it. But yeah, I mean, I think they're going to be teaming up against the DODC.
Okay.
That seems like the most obvious way to go with it, but.
Right. Yeah. I'm just kind of unsure, right? Like it doesn't, it's, yeah.
So one random thing. So Aisha's name they pointed out in the beginning means she who lives.
Mm-hmm.
So is she actually dead? I mean, it seems very likely, but who knows? With all the hand wavy magic that's been going on, she could easily still be alive.
Yeah. Well, then if going back to what we talked about earlier, like with Najma, like when she dies, her powers went to her son. So if Aisha died, if she really died, wouldn't her powers inherently go to Sana?
Yeah. Well, it sounded like it went to the Bengal.
Yeah.
The powers went to the Bengal.
Right.
And are we going to see now there's only one Bengal and not two?
But I thought the Bengal was just a tool to harness their innate power inside.
Yeah, but it like started glowing after she was talking, so yeah. She put something into it.
It seems like it harbors the power.
Think that's that moment when she put the runes on it, the inscription on there. Mm-hmm. Because when the leader of the Red Daggers, he was like, I've heard so many stories about it, but there was never mention of an inscription on it. And that when I guess that's like her dying last spell or whatever, Casa just put the inscription on it. And it makes sense because Kamala asked him if he can read it. And he's like, yeah, it says what you seek is seeking you. And that's exactly what she said before she died.
Sure.
Yeah. So you guys help me with this. I don't honestly remember what happened with the bangle, because I know she like added the inscription onto it, and I don't remember if she held on to it or she gave it to her husband.
She gave it to Sana.
She had it later. Was that like a second bangle, or did she get that same bangle again?
It's the same bangle. It's the future bangle. So it's the bangle that Kamala had on her hand from present day. And then the same one, but the old version of it on her daughter. That's the way I took it.
But both of those bangles were present before Kamala even showed up. That's what I'm confused about. Sana got lost, and then Aisha got stabbed, and then she had the bangle on her. And then she like cast the spell on it or whatever, and then the portal opened, Kamala showed up. So Sana had one and she had the other. Was there a handoff somewhere that I missed?
I don't think she had it. I think what you saw was the bangle on Sana's arm when she was casting the spell.
Okay, I only watched it once, so I might have.
I think what happened is that Sana had it. Aisha cast a spell saying, "What you seek is seeking you," and because she can hear her daughter crying and she can hear her husband calling for Sana the entire time. So the bangle glows and then it falls on the ground, but then you see Sana holding it when Kamala shows up. I think Sana is in possession of the bangle the whole time.
Yes, so we're gonna assume there's one bangle now.
Because the whole point was
that's what I was asking, that because they were saying like early on that there's two. So I thought, you know, maybe has Aisha had both of them the whole time and she just gave one to Sana and held on to the other?
Well, if she did hold on to the other, it wouldn't make sense for, like, Najma to kill her and then just walk away without a bangle.
I'm just going to assume there's one.
I thought there were two, and I thought Kamala, and I was like, maybe this is a space-time continuum type of thing, where she would take the bangle that Sana had with her back to the present day and have two bangles. I thought it was going to be something like that, but I realized that that wasn't the case, because then it would be like, oh, if Sana never had the bangle to begin with, then Kamala would never have received the bangle in the future. It's like, oh, okay.
But it's like, again, this
but
is
again,
where
I'm you know, that the... you can't confirm or deny that, you know?
We should know more though. Like,
yeah.
Simply put, like we shouldn't be going back and forth like this. Like, it's okay to have some mystery and some intrigue and you know try to figure things out and put the pieces together, but like it's just not delivered the way that I feel like it should be.
And I'm not the other thing I don't really like is what they did with the grandma. So like it was only because like the grandma seems to remember a lot about that night of partition, the stars leading her home. She's like, this is what this is what my mother looked like from what I can remember of her. That's a pretty good memory, because she paints a picture of her mother from just memory.
She was little
like,
too.
Like, yeah, yeah, and it's just like, so you don't remember your granddaughter being there.
Yeah.
You know, helping you out there, because you literally have more than enough time to look at Kamala and be like, you look like somebody I met in the past. And it's like,
So yeah,
it is a little weird and a little sloppy in my case. It's just like, because I was like, maybe if they played the grandmother where she's not so keen on her memory, but she seems to remember a lot.
Yeah, I agree. She seems very, very.
And maybe she does remember, which is why she told Kamala, you know, you have to come to come here and do this and that and everything like that. It's just like, oh no, I have a feeling like we're gonna find out something, hopefully in the season finale, that explains all of this.
I don't think, yeah, I'm with Colin. I really don't think. I think that's it. I think
that's why I said hopefully.
Yeah, I think they just put a you know a peg in it for now, and I think that they're gonna deliver, you know, an overarching story for this season, you know, and maybe touch a little bit more on the family, but just do that later, you know, because we're going to be spending, I'd say, the better part of a decade with her now, right? So there's going to be a lot of time left to go explore more things, which that's what I'm going to say. Like, I'm so surprised. I liked the family connections, and I liked when we went away from New Jersey and we did the culture and everything. I love that. But
I think if they were
to there's just still so much to come for her that I was like, yeah. I feel like just too much packed in for such a short time frame for the beginning.
They should have made it like 7 episodes. So now this episode is like, okay, so we got the whole family background, family backstory and everything out of the way.
Yeah.
Now we still have 2 more episodes. Now we're back in the present. Got 2 more episodes to...
I said it on Moon Knight. No. I'll say it again. I think 8 is a good number. I think 8 is a really good number. For these shows.
I don't know why, but like Disney is set on these limited series, like 6 episode things, yeah. And that's not enough.
And it feels like something that happened later, because if you remember, WandaVision was like 9 episodes, and She-Hulk is the next show that's not 6 episodes. It's like 11 or 10 or something like that. And I'll tell you what, they better have a good reason why that show is that long when we watch it, because I'm so bummed out right now for how short it was with Moon Knight and how short it is now with Ms. Marvel. They better have a good reason She-Hulk being longer than these shows, because it's crazy. I feel like it's really, really, really hurting the story that needs to be told, for the audience. You're if you're going to do 6 episodes, then episodes cannot be shorter than 40 minutes. Period. Like they cannot be shorter than 40 minutes. To have 30-ish minutes and it only be 6 episodes, that's...
Now, you know who did it right? Stranger Things.
Yeah, and the new season was insane. Like
the way they ended it with the 2.5-hour season finale, like that. If they don't do something like that, where it's just like a longer episode that gives us all the time to fill in what they need to, I think that's something that they should start picking up on. Just like, hey, yeah, we have 6 episodes, but episode six is going to be like an hour and a half, 2-hour long.
Exactly. Episode. Like it should be like a feature length film.
And that's kind of like what old school TV shows used to do, where they're just they either broke them down into 2 parts where it's just an hour long each, and it's like this season finale part 1, season finale part 2, or they used to be like 2-hour long episodes, or like 2-hour long season finales, and it's just like, and people will be like, oh man, I can't wait till this Friday season finale. Got nothing going on, just season finale. It's just like, okay.
Not to get off topic, it's a little on topic because it is Marvel related, but I really enjoyed Stranger Things. My girlfriend's a massive Stranger Things fan, so we of course knocked that out like immediately, no questions asked. Really enjoyed what they did with this season, but it's about to close out. You know, we're getting one more season, which is good. I feel like that's right to end it where it's going to be ending.
Yeah.
But the Duffer brothers, who created the show, they write it, they direct it, extremely talented, like always impressed with their episodes and everything they've made with this project. Allegedly, they're going to be working with Marvel after this.
I hope so, because they do some amazing stuff.
Yep. Allegedly, they're working. They're in the talks of... jumping on a new project. We don't know which one. Mm-hmm. Everyone's like, oh, Ghost Rider, da, da, da. But we'll see. It could be something new. I do think we're going to have a much better perspective of what the next few years look like with Marvel and Phase 5 coming up in Comic-Con. So I think we'll get some big announcements once that week happens. But I would love the Duffer Brothers to come over to Marvel after Stranger Things, because it would be a warm welcome.
Well, if they do, they got to get with the MCU rules of multiverse, because it does not work the same way on Stranger Things.
Sure. Yeah. Stranger Things is a whole other animal, though. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But God, it's so good.
It is.
It is. Good. It is great.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's the only reason we still have Netflix.
Hey, at least we were right about like one thing in this episode. Well, two things. Colin, you were right about the time traveling. And we were right about Kamala getting her scarf for her Miss Marvel outfit from the Red Dagger.
Yeah. Which was like, that was also underwhelming, because we were oh, you know, maybe he dies and on his deathbed he gives.
Yeah, we were like trying to call it. It's like he's dead.
It was like an afterthought.
The last
like,
memento. He was just like, he just like took it and he goes, this is for you.
Yeah, like he didn't initially want to do that. It was like an afterthought. Like when it happened, he's like, oh, yeah, here you go. Like it was like,
I did like how Grandma Sana, like she knew him. She's like, her mom's like, she's like, Beta, who is this? And then her mom's just like talking to him, like, hey, you know, how you doing? He's like, hi, yeah, I'm just gonna go. Nice to see you though. I was just like, that was a little awkward, but I feel like Grandma knows a lot more than she's leading on.
Sure. Yeah, I didn't catch that. That's good that you are right though. I remember it now. Maybe she's just, we'll see.
So, I know we've been ragging on this episode a lot already, but the portal really didn't seem all that dangerous to me, considering how much they've been building up to, like, the massive amount of danger that comes from that portal all season.
Oh, you mean the veil?
Yeah, the veil, yeah.
I thought you meant, like, the portal where she time traveled through. I was like, what?
They must be related, right? Because the veil came about because of the portals, so they must be linked or one in the same, and just
look at a portal differently than a gate.
Changed.
Do you think like opening up a portal to time travel tears the veil, which is what happened?
Yeah, what happened? Why was it evil? Like, why was it? Was it protecting people for what? My thought process after I tried to digest that was it was defending itself from letting anyone enter. Right?
I got that feeling. There is an Easter egg associated with what's happening when they go in. I had to look this up, and as soon as they explained it, I knew exactly what they're talking about.
But you know, what happened to them happened to people on S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. So, they get this like stony like shell that like forms around them or whatever, and then they turn to dust. So that's Terrigen mist. So when the Terrigen mist like comes into contact with a normal human, it'll kill them. But when it comes into contact with an inhuman, it'll like transform them from like, you know, no superpowers to like their evolved self with superpowers, essentially.
And, because yeah, like, in the comic books,
that was an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that happened a good amount.
A couple inhumans in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. got their abilities when they came in contact with it. But in the comic books, that's how Kamala gets her powers and Kamran.
Right. So what I'm wondering
from the Terrigen mist.
Yeah. Okay. So what I'm wondering is Kamala actually an inhuman and they're just calling him Jin? That's like a different term for it or something, or is this purely an Easter egg and it's nothing else?
I think I think they might be inhumans, but I don't know. I can't be 100% sure.
Because if the Jinn were inhumans, then they would have survived the Terrigen Mist.
But you know? Not necessarily, because, like, again, like...
I mean, is it because they've been away from their home world for so long that they just no longer...
I have two theories about it.
...have, like, their DNA is, like, somehow changed because of that, so...
Well,
again, hand waving. Like no explanation of anything.
I had said it in a previous episode that we did, saying that, you know, I think whoever wears the bangle might be able to pass through the veil and come and go as they please, because
they would have their full power unlocked, their full like connection to the other universe. Because, so
because that makes sense. The leader of the Red Daggers, I forget his name, but he was saying this is not the first time Jin have come in and out of our universe. Many of them have come over before, and but I also think like one is because they didn't have the bangle on them, which is why they perish. Or two, when you're banished from your universe, like some kind of like DNA or some type of biological thing is incorporated in some kind of defense mechanism. So like they walk up to it, it recognizes them as a banished Jin and keeps them from returning.
Yeah, that could be it.
That makes sense.
Because yeah, and I think and I also think like Aisha was kind of aware of this, which is why like when she was hesitant about the whole thing. Of course, she now has a family and everything, and she knows what's going to happen if they do return and they unleash the entire Jin universe onto their world and destroy her family, her newfound family. She doesn't want to do that, so she has this newfound love for the world that she lives in now. But I know she, I'm pretty sure she knows that whoever has the bangle on and gets home will open up the veil and let it through. So I think she didn't want Najma to have it for that very reason, because Najma is the one person that if she did have the bangle, she wouldn't have hesitated to go through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe. And I checked the episode, by the way, it was only one bangle, so I was imagining it. So
I was hoping it was going to be two.
Yeah. So we never got an answer, at least so far. One episode left, but I don't think they'll explain it then. Never got an answer about the second bangle. So yeah, we'll see. They still got one episode.
They did confirm in that first flashback episode that there were more than one bangle, right?
I don't remember that. But
we've like never actually seen it, but they said,
they mentioned
the portal with one bangle, it's going to be extremely dangerous, but if you open it with two, it's fine. Basically,
I think like opening it with one, you don't have enough power source to rival the sun, which is like what Bruno was talking about. It's like in order to open a portal to their universe, you're going to need the power of the sun, but I don't think one bangle is going to be enough.
Anybody else get Doc Ock vibes the first time they said that?
Yeah. But I think probably two bangles would probably be enough to stably open up a portal. But why do it now, even if she gets a second bangle, you know? There's no real reason all the other Jin are dead.
Right.
Except for Kamran.
Yeah, just Kamran and Kamala left. Oh, and Sana. Right,
I guess their whole family are Jin, in the sense of speaking.
Half bloods.
Yeah.
Mudbloods.
Mudblood. Filthy mudblood.
Filthy mudblood. You cost me my seven.
So. It's one thing, several things, but one other thing, I guess, that they haven't explained yet. The blue arm that we saw, I think it was at the beginning of episode 3, was it? We were theorizing that it might be, Kree? One of the Kree, possibly.
Oh, where they originally find the bangle.
Yeah.
In the tomb.
Yep. Yeah. So we haven't gotten any explanation on that yet, and related to that, we haven't gotten any connection to the Ten Rings yet. But I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they just kind of leave it there as an Easter egg to come back on the Ten Rings part. But the Kree one, I really feel like they need to kind of give a little bit more there. But we'll see.
I wonder if it's the Jin's true form. You know, maybe it was a Jin that came through and died. But you know, again, I prefer Kree, but
right. Yeah, I mean, Jin are basically genies.
I mean, yeah, so because like I mean, they're from a different universe, and they never talk about what their true form is, other than the fact that they're in that world, they look like everybody else. I mean, I was actually kind of hoping, like, with the big confrontation between Kamala and Najma, that, you know, she would, like, shed her human form and show her Jin form. Like, I thought, like, when the portal opened, like, it would leak out some of the Nora that she can, like, harness and, like, turn into her Jin form or something like that, and kind of have, like, a epic battle to say, and then, you know, something like that. But nope. She just walked right up and said, "Kamran," and turned to bones.
Well, it's anticlimactic.
And her necklace broke.
Yeah, I was just going to say, that was an Easter egg. I was going to point out, so necklace broke, formed the shape of a lightning bolt.
Lightning bolt, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. This Marvel symbol. And one other possible Easter egg, this is probably nothing, but I just thought it was odd that they mentioned one specific element, argon, at the end when Kamran and Bruno were talking. So I looked it up, and there is a superhero named Argon. So I don't know if that's anything at all. I think he's related to the X-Men. So I don't know. It could be nothing. I couldn't really find any connection to Ms. Marvel.
That's fair.
But yeah, that's all I had. Is there anything else?
No.
I think I got everything that I wanted to talk about this episode. Cool.
So yeah, overall, a bit of a letdown. Yeah. At least for me and Mike, our least favorite episode of the season.
It wasn't my favorite episode of the season, but I just enjoyed the backstory parts of it.
Yeah, I did too.
For the most part, it wasn't my favorite. There was a lot of stuff that was in there that didn't need to be in there. A lot of things that should have been in there that weren't in there. It's just it was all over the place.
Too much hand waving.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I didn't really say this before, but another thing I didn't really like about the episode, the reason wasn't one of my favorite, it was my least favorite, I guess, just some of the lines were really poorly delivered. I can't really think of any specific examples. I think it was a couple of things that the mom said that were just like, I don't know, meme-y almost. that didn't really fit and were just kind of awkward. And I think there was like some talk about like superheroes or something. I don't remember exactly what it was, but there were like a few things that were just, I don't know, poorly done.
Yeah.
But yeah, again, the main reason was the whole time travel thing. It just really rubbed me the wrong way. Because I've been so proud of the MCU up to this point for being so consistent and everything making sense, and they just ruined it. You know, decade down the drain.
Just kidding. I mean, but
so it really bothered me.
Sure. I mean, you're probably not alone. So I mean, yeah. it bothered me too, but not to that extent. I didn't even really go that deep. I was just like, this just doesn't feel good. This doesn't seem
right.
And it didn't hit for me. And then I probably would have had that thought later. So I'm glad you guys brought it up, because it's an important point to make. But I was just so kind of pulled away by how it was delivered that I was like, oh yeah, it was just kind of a bummer, you know? But
no, yeah. I agree with Colin. It's just like, it didn't fit. It just was it's like, you're just ignoring everything that Marvel has built up for this one moment, and you just went, nope, we're doing our own thing.
Making our own rules.
Yeah, making our own rules.
I honestly wonder if Feige signed off on that, because I feel like he wouldn't have, because, you know, that's one thing we've been talking about. The reason
I can imagine him like home right now watching the episode going, what the hell is this?
What happened?
I don't know.
Calling the mother's like, episode later, 6, you better fix it.
You know, Phase 4 has just been, this is all another conversation for a different episode, but I think they're trying too hard to capture the same feel as Phase 1, but but with way more characters and way more content pumping. Like, mm-hmm. it's just, it's, the disconnect isn't that big of a deal, but we brought it up before, it's time to start connecting. Yeah. And I think they are. I have really high hopes for Thor tomorrow. Whoop, whoop, can't wait. And, you know, leading into next year and the announcements we're gonna get with Comic-Con, I really do think next year is the last year of Phase 4, and Phase 5 will be coming after that. Because I do it's time to kind of start wrapping up this first phase, but Phase 4, and start pushing the momentum forward, you know? But that's just me. I mean, I'm sure there's people, Marvel fans out there, that are loving all of these separate stories and all these new characters and everything. And I am, but I do miss the magic and the cleanliness that we've had before, and just having everything feel super connected. It just doesn't right now at all. As hard as they're trying, you know, with implementing characters into different things and bringing people in and out of shows and this and that. But yeah, I rest my case.
Yeah, I mean, they did say this arc was going to be ambitious, and you know, you've been talking about this, Mike. Like, that's kind of a dirty word. Anytime they say something's going to be ambitious, there's a good chance that it's going to go wrong.
Any video game developer that says this is the most ambitious game we've ever made, I'm like, that's
steering clear of that.
Flag for me. Yeah, red flag. Yeah. But you know, who knows?
I have faith, but I'm starting to worry.
Yeah. We'll see what happens tomorrow with Thor.
Hopefully they can recapture the magic of Endgame when they get to that phase, but I'm worrying.
Yeah.
At least we have Thor tomorrow.
Yeah.
But yeah, this episode also bothered me because I've been planning on doing an episode explaining the multiverse and everything that's happened so far. And everything that has happened, I have an explanation for it. It all ties together. It's nice and clean. And now I got nothing with this Marvel. I don't know how to explain what happened. I'm still going to do the episode, and I'll just say, you know, we're not going to talk about Ms. Marvel.
Just give it some time. Let's let it breathe. See what happens.
I'll give them a chance to redeem themselves.
Yeah, you know, happens. At least see what happens with the Marvels, and just, you know, I know that seems like a far way out now, but you know, it's next year. It's not that far, and let's give it some time to breathe. You know, it's still a new character. It's still new everything for her. We're going to be spending a lot of time going forward.
The character, so. I don't have a problem with. Just
but they might go back to the show. Yeah, I mean, they might revisit things, you know, from this season. So, well, who knows? You know. Let's wait and see.
All right. Well, I think we'll call it a wrap right there. Be back for our outro. Thank you all so much for joining us. We love Marvel, so we could do this all day. But for now, we're going to call it a wrap. We hope you enjoyed it. If you did, make sure to drop us a like, rate us, follow us, share this with a friend, all that good stuff. You can find us all over the web. Links for everything are in the channel description. And make sure to check out the polls on Spotify. We'd love to hear from you guys. And join us next time for our 50th episode. We're talking about Thor, Love and Thunder, and there cannot be a better episode for our 50th. So we are really excited to talk about that. So once again, thank you so much for tuning in. We love you all 3,000, and we hope you're all staying safe out there.
Take care, Marvel fans. Catch you next time.
Bye.